Well, welcome.
Good morning.
We have Melissa and Kate this morning.
Good morning, good morning, and happy solstice.
Happy solstice, and
yeah.
Thanks for taking some time away from pulling the weeds to come in here and give us some advice.
We try to avoid all that weed thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've had a beautiful couple of days, haven't we?
We really have.
Yeah. I couldn't believe how much things had grown in my greenhouse.
Right.
I was watering this morning on my way here. And
mm-hmm.
I think that there's a foot of growth on some stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure a little water, everything's going to grow like crazy.
Yeah. Crazy. Solstice is always a little bit of a bittersweet day for me as we think about the long slide into winter. But I was just checking the weather on my iPhone, and my hometown is now in the midst of 3 days in a row of 100 plus, up to 106. So I will quit my complaining about weather here.
Yeah, don't complain.
Sure. Yeah. Today we're going to talk about what we're doing in our gardens at solstice. Because it really is kind of a significant day. We're beginning to see the change in the amount of light, and that begins to affect what plants do. We're going to follow up a little bit on last week's garden conversation on edible landscaping, and we're going to talk about how to do research in our gardens, because Kate's quite the researcher. Before we get to our topics, it's time to think about the fair. If you have ideas about the garden tour that we do on the Sunday morning of the fair, please contact me, 766-2185. We're looking for 3 gardens to go to. This year, I'm looking at Kate. And anyway, it's always a lot of fun on the Sunday morning to go out on these garden tours. Also, the fair food court will be all compostable, nearly zero waste again this year. So Haynes Friends of Recycling is going to be handling all the recycling and composting. If you'd like to help us with that project, or if you would like bags of compost fixings, also contact me for that, because it really makes amazing compost. So, Kate, what are you doing in your garden now? Are you still planting anything?
Well, I'm always planting a few new things. You have to have your successions of, like, cilantro, lettuce, those types of things. And so there's always new plantings, remembering about every 2 to 3 weeks, get a few more things going. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, I'm into the joy of picking. Yeah. It's been a beautiful summer as far as things growing.
What are you harvesting now?
Oh, tons of cucumbers, zucchini, lots of lettuce. Beans are just about there. I can't wait. Tomatoes are almost there.
Mm.
So, yeah, the joys of summer.
Great, great.
Lots of greens.
You must have started really early.
I do, but it's joy of having domes or little hoop houses that you can start quite a bit earlier. And so even the little hoop houses outside are coming on now.
Yeah.
We've got spinach coming on in those, and kale, and all sorts of greens coming on.
Yeah, yeah, and you have southern exposure.
I have lots of southern exposure.
That really does make a difference.
It really does.
So the things that you're planting now, as we and through the solstice time, are say it again.
Oh, I have some lettuce. I have some cilantro, spinach. Broccoli, because I've already been harvesting on those things. And
can always do more radishes, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. Just keep them coming so you have things throughout the summer. It's easy to forget about because you're busy harvesting like lettuce. I've had so many salads. But I'm starting to see it's getting a little bit long, and I can see where it's going to go to seed, and so it's time to get some new stuff going so that by the time that's done, I'll have some new stuff coming on.
Uh-huh, yeah. Yeah, I'm doing some of the same things you're doing. I was looking at my cilantro today, and it was saying, I need the next generation.
Yeah.
And I'm doing successive on broccoli and cauliflower.
Yeah, those are other ones, yeah.
Yeah, both of those. Busy time.
It is, but a great time.
Yeah.
It's fun every night going out and finding what's for dinner.
What kind of cucumbers are you growing this year?
That's one of my experiments I was going to talk about this year. I have 3 different types. I have my old standby radar, which I can judge everything else by because they've always done well for me. This year I'm using Currento, which is one that you told me about. And then also Telegraph. That was the variety that they mentioned at the Farmers Conference this spring, or the Garden Conference.
That's the one I've got.
Yeah.
It's a Telegraph, yeah.
Yeah.
Are you happy with it?
I haven't gotten any cucumbers yet, so we'll see.
Yeah, it's really interesting. We'll Currento, the ones that you had mentioned, I am just being swamped in those right now. And the Telegraph, it looks like they're going to produce a lot, but they're later. And so it's interesting. It's why I like having my different varieties to test them against different ones so I can see that, yeah, Corinto come on fast and furious. And I don't know if they can keep it up the whole season or not. Yeah. But then Telegraph will be filling in. They're almost there. They're more like an English cucumber.
Okay.
And they look beautiful, but they're taking a bit, little bit longer to come on.
Yeah. So different varieties is nice because it does prolong your harvest time.
It really does. Yeah.
And it is important, you know, as you're talking about the plants kind of wearing out, wondering mm-hmm. how they were going to do, to remember to keep feeding them.
Yeah.
Through the summer. And that's where compost is really good because it's such a nice slow release type of fertilizer. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about edible landscaping. Last week, Mardell had a guest on mm-hmm. that was doing permaculture and edible landscaping.
Right.
And we're going to talk a little bit about some of the plants that work here in Haines. I have a book in my personal library from 1982.
Edible Landscaping.
Entitled,
well,
yeah.
The
Complete Book of Edible Landscaping. If you write a book, never say the complete book because it never is a complete book.
Is.
Anyway, this was written by Rosalind Creasy. There may be a copy in the library. The most important thing to remember is that you want your edible landscaping in soil that is not contaminated with pesticides or heavy metals and so on. So a lot of times people will put things in their soil that is okay for flowers, and then a few years later they'll say, okay, let's put some edible flowers in, and then a few years later it's, oh, let's put in some vegetables, and meanwhile you still have some contaminated soil. So be really, really careful about what kind of soil you have and what you're putting in it, so that you don't end up with contamination. So using organic growing methods really works the best. Edible landscaping is something that many of us do here without really necessarily thinking about it. It just means that you eat many things from your flower garden. So some of the flowers that you might have in your garden would be like nasturtiums, for instance, or begonia, daylilies, some
pansies.
Of those kinds of things.
Pansies are great.
Yeah, pansies are great. There's a restaurant here that serves creme brulee with a pansy on top. Yeah,
ooh.
Yeah, highly recommended. anyway, mixing flowers in with your other plants attracts beneficial insects and pollinating insects and birds to mm-hmm. your garden. It just, you know, makes it really pretty,
mm-hmm.
and it works really well. So some of the edible So I've been doing edible landscaping for a long time. If you remember back to the movie Dances with Wolves.
Mm-hmm.
When that came out, we took our oldest grandson to go see the movie. And afterwards, he decided to call me Grandma Cooks with Flowers. Because I was always adding different flowers and things to salads and, you know, whatever uh-huh. was going on. So some of the flowers that I've used is pansies, daylilies, begonias, nasturtium. I didn't realize begonias were edible until
I didn't either.
Charlotte Jewell told me that. And they're really sweet and delicate and very nice.
So you eat the flowers.
You eat the flowers.
Okay, I got to try that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh,
yeah.
I didn't know.
I didn't either, but they are, yeah, they're really tasty. So other things that you can use in the way of edible landscaping are all of the herbs.
Yeah,
that can be beautiful. Borage, for instance, is fantastically pretty plant. Lavender, I have a lavender in a pot that I just put out in my garden, and so that's all edible. Berries, strawberries, all kinds of things like that are edible. And as we think about having a flower garden, we can put edible stuff in it. Kale is another one that's pretty obvious. So, any other ideas that you might have?
Not really. Just going back to the idea of the herbs, I love all the fresh herbs. I keep mm-hmm. planting more and more different varieties, but planting them near the house so that when you're in the cooking, you can quickly run out and grab them. Because when they're all the way across the yard, I tend not to do that. And so if they're near the house, I use them.
Okay. There's a concept in permaculture of zones, and the zone closest to the house is what's called zone one, and that's where you put the things that you're going to check mm-hmm. and pick up every day, you know.
Your kitchen garden,
basically. Yeah, exactly. So it's lettuce and herbs and that kind of thing. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Any other ideas you might have, Joni?
Well, I have my herbs are all in pots in my inside of my house on the windowsill. But I like seeing the different color cabbages, you know, in as decorative. Like the purple is really beautiful. And I also like those funny looking, I think it's a cross between a broccoli and cauliflower.
The, oh, I know what you're talking about. Yes.
Yeah, those broccolini or something like that.
Yeah, something like that that looks like a triangle.
Yeah,
it's
they're
just
so
really
interesting.
Pretty. Yeah. Yeah, and those you know, could fill in for flowers or whatever. Yeah. And then, you know, when the plants are budding, they're budding in flowers anyway. So, you know, when they're first, before they produce their fruit. So,
yeah. So I guess the idea here is that if you've got an area that you want kind of as a show garden for when people are coming to your house or whatever, you might put some edible landscaping.
Yeah, take a bite.
Yeah.
Eat a flower. We're flower people, right?
Right, right, yeah. So that's the basic concept there. So the thing to really pay attention to is to be careful on toxics in your soil. Another way to think about the edible landscaping, too, and Joni kind of alluded to it, is that you're looking not only for what you can eat, but also things that are pretty in their blooming stage or that have pre-fall colored leaves like blueberries and that sort of thing.
Oh, there you go, yeah.
Can be really nice as part of an edible landscaping. You've got the berries during the summer and then you've got the the fall colored leaves for our 3 days of fall.
Starts next week.
Yeah. Oh, let's talk a little bit about the research that we can do in our garden. What we learn is always useful to our continued experience as gardeners. And it's good information to share with other gardeners. I like always doing a little bit of research, trying to do something new and different every year. It just kind of keeps gardening interesting to me. So we can think of two ways to do research. The first is being a naturalist, and the second is being an experimenter. As a naturalist, we observe what happens in our garden. We make notes about what we see. And keeping records is so important.
It's right up Kate's alley.
I know. Yeah, Kate's our model on that. Yeah. So things that we can observe and record from a naturalist perspective include things like weather patterns. The thing we've talked about before about not planting in your garden till the dandelions are blooming. There's some local knowledge and or myth, I don't know which it is, that the height of the fireweed is a predictor of the snow level for the next winter.
Is that right? I never heard
that. I don't know that it's right, but I've heard it here. And it's interesting because I've watched that, and the year that we've had really heavy snows, like the winter of 2011-12, the fireweed was really tall. This year, it's very short. So I wonder if we're going to go into another low snow winter. Anyway.
I don't know. I got some really tall ones, so I don't know.
Maybe you're going to get drifts.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things that you could pay attention to that and see if there's any validity to the to the concept. So, Kate, what kind of observations do you generally make as a good record keeper?
Well, just watching the weather patterns. Every year is different. We have no two summers are the same. And so I can never really come up with my one date that I always plant my garden on. I don't know. 2-3 years ago, we had that year, we had almost no snow. And so I was able to plant extremely early because my beds thawed out very early. And so it's just watching what's currently going on. I do watch the trees. When they start leafing out, I figure that it must be safe to start planting. But you never know.
You never know.
Yeah, so it's just observing what is currently going on with our weather and trying to predict what the pattern's going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, and watching fireweed, mine is watching it go to cotton because that's when I want to get my onions and garlic out before the cold fall rains start because you want to get those things drying before we get all that rain happening.
How about the Farmer's Almanac? That seems to be pretty accurate down south. I don't know
down
about
south,
up here.
Yeah. Well, I think watching those patterns is kind of part of our own internal Farmer's Almanac, isn't it? I think, unfortunately, we're running out of time. We're going to have to come back and maybe finish up on some of this on the experimental piece. Yes, and Joni's giving us the wrap-up time.
Wrap it up.
Remember that you can listen to past programs on khns.org, Garden Conversation. Send your questions to us at gardens@khns.org. Next week is the fun drive. Please show your support for local programming like the Garden Conversation with your donations to our amazing radio station.
If you've ever planted anything,
you should make a donation.
You should make a donation.
Okay, there you go. All right. Well, thank you, Kate. Thank you, Joni.
And thank you so much. This is always my favorite part of the show is having these lovely volunteers come in with all of their knowledge. Thank you. Thank you. You're tuned to your community radio station, KHNS, proudly serving the Upper Lynn Canal at 102.3 and 91.9 on your FM radio dial, Haynes, Skagway, and Kluckwan.